We pray. Heavenly Father, you who hold the universe in the palm of your hand, come in your powerful gospel. Come and fill our hearts to overflowing. Come and work a miracle of your grace, planting your seed deep within the fabric of our being, that your word may be our light, our salvation, our guide in the dark days of this world. Bless us and strengthen us that we might bring glory to your name. In Christ our Lord. Amen. Call me cynical, but I characterize this 21st century, or at least the beginning of it, as a time when people are doing a lot of talking, but nobody is listening. Has that dawned on you? Everybody seems to have all kinds of answers even before questions are asked. Everyone's their own expert. Politicians have a lot to say, and yet they come up with few solutions. Children often roll their eyes and look at their parents as though they're absolutely nuts. Employees will kind of have a blank stare at their employer as though he or she is speaking Polish poetry or something. And then, of course, with husbands and wives, it's easy to kind of instantly become deaf or launch into a recitation of all the past transgressions or simply just blow our tops whenever there's something really important that needs to be talked out. Our unwillingness to listen can even spill over into our relationship with God. We, too, are tempted to be products of our know-it-all culture and to think that, hey, I know a little bit more than even God knows. But God still loves us to the end. God loves us so much that he wants to bring us to a better place, a happier place, a holier place. Through his word, he wants to move our hearts so that we pray. That we pray, Lord, water us with your word and accomplish your desires deep within us. God gave Isaiah an analogy. And if we take it seriously, it will transform our relationship with God. It's just that powerful. God says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Wow. God said that his word will accomplish what he desires, will achieve the purpose for which he sent. Really? Do we believe that? Notice God repeated himself just to make himself absolutely clear. And he didn't say that his word might achieve his purpose, or he hopes that it might accomplish what he desires. No, he says, my word will accomplish. That's powerful. Our sinful nature loves to mock this Bible verse. This is one of those golden ones that it just likes to jump upon, because our sinful nature always wants us to doubt God and his word, and the power of his word. Our sinful nature bites with a poison that is worse than a rattlesnake. Our sinful nature comes and says, ha ha, see, here's another place where God exaggerates the point and is just downright untruthful. His word doesn't have any effect in this world. If his word accomplished everything it said, why aren't there all believers and no unbelievers? Why aren't we all doing exactly what he says throughout our whole life? Our sinful natures want to pretend that God is gone, dead, silent, unaware, or at least uninvolved in everything in our lives, so that we can do whatever we want to. We like to believe that we're our own little mini God, that we know everything and we can do whatever we want to. We speak to our iPhones, we speak to our TVs and our computers, and someday we'll even give orders to robots. And boy, doesn't that empower us? By the sheer sound of our voice, our lights turn on, our television turns on. We can have answers to our questions. We can have directions to the grocery store. Ooh, doesn't that make us feel powerful? Just speak and things happen. And so it's easy for us to be confused as to who's really God and whose word is really powerful. To our sinful nature and our way of thinking, this whole idea that God's word is powerful and it always accomplishes what it was set out for, that seems idiotic. That seems impossible. By what we see around us, it certainly doesn't look like that's happening, and it doesn't square with our logic. But nonetheless, this is God's claim for himself. As the morning rain waters your garden, he says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word once again puts us at a crossroads. We're either going to go down one road or the other. We can't go down both. We either dismiss God's word and say, oh, how foolish. This is idiotic to believe anything like that. Or we're going to listen carefully, take his promise to heart, and turn our attention away from trying to explain what God declares to simply trusting what God declares. Oh, Lord, give us trust in your word above everything else. You see, God doesn't call for us to take his statements and make them logical to human minds. He doesn't call for us to explain his claims to an unbelieving world. He doesn't even ask us to be bothered if this world wants to sit in judgment of his divine decrees. But he does call for us to trust. Trust what he says with all of our heart and soul and mind, and to proclaim what he says to the highways and byways. And so today, we're probably in that fix again where we need to pray out to the Lord, Lord, I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. All those times that I truly do doubt what you declare. But think about it a second. Even logically speaking, can God's word be anything but all-powerful? That word that came from the mouth of God created the whole universe out of nothing. The Apostle Paul declares, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God because it is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. Why, we even today have demonstrated our trust in God's word being all-powerful. We came this morning confessing our sins. We came looking for God to speak his word of forgiveness upon our sins. And as surely as he said, I forgive you in the name of the Father, we truly believe that we are forgiven. We are forgiven for those sins of doubting him, of pushing him and his word aside, of playing God as though we're more important than the Lord God Almighty. He has declared forgiveness, and in those words, he has cleansed our very soul from the sins that condemn us. And if he has done that with his spoken word, His simple spoken word. What else can his simple spoken word do? What else does his word do with our problems and our fears? All that troubles us and torments us. With the confusion in life and our loneliness, or even our hopelessness sometimes, our self-centeredness, and even our wicked passions and cravings. What the Word of God can do in all of those dark places in our life. And that's why we pray, Lord, wash us with the water of your Word and accomplish your desires in the depths of us. And so we pray, make us thirsty, Lord, downright thirsty for what only you can accomplish. What does it mean to be thirsty for the Word of God? Interesting picture. When a plant is thirsty for water, it doesn't just want to see a picture of water. When you're thirsty, parched, dried, dehydrating, you don't want to just have a conversation about water. No. Whether it's our tomatoes or our tummies, we want to ingest the water so that it can refresh the hurting within us, so that it can replenish what is lacking within us. So often we look to this world or to ourselves to refresh what only God can refresh, to replenish what only God can replenish, and we come up short, dehydrated, in misery and suffering, and we wonder why it doesn't work. Where do we go when our world is spinning out of control? When everything is terrible and awful and it doesn't seem like it's going to get any better? Perhaps because friends have stabbed us in the back. Perhaps because cancer or drugs or death has crushed our lives. Or maybe the thing that has upended us is our own sinful behavior. That we have played the role of being the scoundrel, the scum, the greedy, the lustful, the hurtful, the arrogant criminal. And it's all come crashing down on our heads. Where then do we go for strength and hope and wisdom and peace and patience and love? Well, there is only one place. In all this world, there is only one place. To go to the Savior who has purchased forgiveness for us. He's the only one who can heal those broken bones. He can fill us in a way that no one nor anything else can ever fill us. Isn't it exciting to think of just what the Lord would accomplish in our lives if we let Him? If we were watered continuously with His Word? Wow, what are the possibilities? How would our lives change if we truly had a holy thirsty for the water of God's Word, for what only God can accomplish in us and through us? It opens up all kinds of possibilities when God says, I will accomplish my purpose, my desires. And so this is our opportunity to pray, Lord, accomplish your will in me. Take me where you want me to go and grow in me what pleases you. Now, there's a bold prayer. But notice how God says he accomplishes all of this. Not with fairy dust sprinkled on our head. Not just in him declaring from his throne on high. No, he says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. We don't pour vinegar on our tomato plants and expect anything good to come. So if we truly want to grow in all the blessings and strength and glory of the Lord, we need to water our roots in his holy water of his word. to bathe ourselves in it. Lord, water us with your word and accomplish your desires within us. Imagine for a second you have four different tomato plants. The first tomato plant you water every week. The second tomato plant you water every 2 weeks. The third tomato plant you water once every 3 weeks. And the fourth tomato plant you water once a month. Which tomato plant is going to bear more fruit, better fruit? Obviously, the one that is watered every week. And so it is with us. How often do we water our roots in the Word of God and let Him have His way with us and truly listen with all of our heart and soul and mind as to what He decrees from on high? God is holding out to us something much better than a fountain of youth. He's holding out the water of His Word, that water that creates us anew, that fills us with hope and wisdom and peace and joy and forgiveness and even is a source of all loving, that empowers us to do what otherwise would be impossible. Why do we hear God's word? You come this morning seeking a blessing from the Lord, and the blessing comes through His word. Why do we have Bible classes? Oh, that we might plummet the depths of His Word. For the Bible is His Word from cover to cover, to know the whole will and counsel of the Lord, because we trust this is more than just a history lesson. But God builds and blesses His people through the study of His sacred scriptures. Why do we have a Lutheran elementary school? So that our children might be bathed in God's word day after day after day, that the sunshine of His grace and His truth might shine into the deep recesses of their souls, and actually they might grow with the Lord throughout all those years and set down deep roots in the soil of His word. And that's what we trust is happening. But isn't it strange, however, our little church body truly holds high the importance of God's sacred word. We are one of the few churches that truly believe that God's word is God's word from cover to cover in sacred scripture. And yet our little church body has such low worship attendance and low Bible class attendance. Isn't that an oddity? For those who say they hold Scripture in such a high regard. Another oddity. A Muslim would never consider putting the Quran, their sacred scriptures, on the floor. They hold it in such high respect. And yet, there's been years where I've seen Bibles in our Lutheran elementary school that look like they've gone through a war, tattered and torn and scribbled. Really? They're worn and beaten up, not from use, but from abuse. To what degree does that speak about our reverence for the Word of God? Do we really believe that God's Word is life-changing? Or maybe we do believe God's word is truly life-changing and we don't want Him changing our lives. What is the problem? God will accomplish His good and perfect will through His holy word, ingested by His people, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest everything He has spoken. Blessed is the man, woman, or child who's willing to sit quiet at the feet of the Lord and listen to everything the Lord has to say, instead of being so impressed with their own words and their own knowledge, that we truly might be sacred students And let God be the teacher that fills us to overflowing with his truth and his grace divine. Blessed is a man, woman, or child who truly wants God's will to be done in them and through it, not out, only out in the universe, but in the depths of our being. We're about to welcome in a brand new year of worship and Bible study. Where are you with that? Is that what you're looking forward to also? Jesus' words are fulfilled in our hearing too. Notice what he said in the parable. He who has ears, let him hear. We too. We who have ears, let us hear the mighty word of the Lord. Amen. Please rise. We pray, Heavenly Father, as you decree your grace from on high, may you find willing ears, receptive hearts for all that you have spoken. Work in us, dear Lord. Set your seed deep within us that it might grow and bear a bountiful crop. Bless us, dear Lord, as we travel with you through this world on into glory everlasting. In Christ our Savior we pray. Amen.